This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
Multifamily makes sense because housing will always be needed regardless of where we are in the market cycle or where we are as far as trends go. So, you know, office or retail may come and go, storage may be needed or not needed, or mobile or not mobile, whereas everyone needs a home and we are becoming a renter nation. And I believe that apartments will serve communities and have demand for, you know, my lifetime, the lifetime of my children and the lifetime of their children.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
What's up, guys? This is Jonathan Farber, host of the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. This show is all about achieving financial freedom as fast as possible so you can do whatever makes you happy in life. For me, that vehicle was real estate, and it's how I achieved financial freedom at 27. If you want to know how I got started, my journey is presented in a YouTube video posted in the show notes, and I post daily in our private Facebook group about my favorite topics and day-to-day strategies. I appreciate you guys being here, and let's get started. Oh, by the way, reach out if you ever need help. I try to keep my calendar open to talk to anyone that needs it or has any quick questions. See you guys. Talk to you later. This episode is sponsored by Infinite Road Destinations, the smartest short-term rental property management group I know, and the group that manages my properties. This is a company that's very close to my heart, run by two of the smartest, most attentive people I know, Claire Rosenberg and Alex Brashears. Claire and I first met when we worked together at NetApp, where she was a top performer and rose crazy fast in the company. And Alex is just one of the most active, genuine people I know in the real estate space. The two of them together bring a blended background of project management, software design, and extensive experience with automation tools and virtual assistants. Through these experiences, they optimize any property to deliver a hands-off experience to owners while delivering the highest occupancy and highest daily rates possible. You guys know I would not recommend anything to anyone in this group that I do not fully endorse or think that is the absolute best product. And this company is that. And like I said before, this is the exact company and people that manage my Airbnbs. If you don't believe me, here are a few of the other tools and services that come along with the team: listing optimization, guest support and approval, communication and reservations, key exchange and management, dynamic pricing, welcome kit creation, listing advertising and marketing, vendor management, including cleaners, maintenance, handyman, runners, and monthly property reports. To learn more, check out shorttermmadeeasy.com or email info@shorttermmadeeasy.com. And on the form, just mention that you heard it here or mention my name. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose, and they offer a satisfaction guarantee. And I assure you guys, you will not be disappointed. What's going on, guys? Today we have an awesome episode with Lee Ford. I do need to give a little disclaimer here, though. It is a great episode, but somehow we had a technical issue, so the episode did get cut short. It's only going to be about a 15-minute episode, so I guess it'll be just kind of a quick hit. But it's a great episode, and we might need to do a part two or have Lee on in the Facebook group just to kind of get the rest of the story out there. But high-level background on Lee: he is in the St. Louis area. He's a full-time real estate professional, and he originally started out in property management. He built a 220-unit property management company. And then now he moved into owning property himself and syndicating. And he's got 124 doors, including a 38 unit and a 76 unit apartment building. And he is looking for more. He's got a couple more deals in the hopper right now, but just a really cool story of how he kind of went from a different part of the business to syndicating and now owning and managing apartment buildings with other people's money. So we dig into a lot of topics. The main learning I had from this show was actually the specifics of how syndicators make money. It's something that I've talked about in different phases of looking into real estate myself, and just as I get educated on it, kind of deliver it back to you guys. But for the most part, syndicators, they're not making as much money on the front end as I think kind of the perception is. They do make money on fees, but it's kind of Lee explains, he'll go through a deal of how he actually makes money, when he makes it, and then kind of what the plan is. So we break that down, and I think it's very helpful for people that want to understand if it's a possible career path for them and how they need to plan on the front end or kind of lifestyle choices as it's building to know that they will be able to financially get through it. Okay, today's tangible tip. As we buy more stuff on Amazon, I'm always amazed with little features and tweaks and stuff that we're just trying to like use more on the site. But we're using Amazon a lot to buy furniture for properties and just random stuff that we're doing kind of like in the business. But we are relying on reviews a lot. And I always question if the reviews are legit or like how they're being sorted. So one little thing that I like to do is one, always make sure that my reviews are set kind of in the order that they happen. So like sometimes they'll show you top reviews or like good reviews or bad reviews kind of in different orders. And you can just tweak that by clicking either top reviews or most recent. And by doing that, you can see like what are the more relevant kind of reviews to maybe a product change or something that happened recently. And I don't really care to know about the reviews of something from 3 or 4 years ago. I'd rather know about it like right now if people are still buying it. And then sometimes what I'll do is even ask questions if there's something that's not answered in a review. And you'd be amazed how often people will respond if you have questions. So some of you guys might already know that, but we're doing a lot more just because we're trying to validate stuff and not have to deal with returns, even though it is pretty easy with Amazon when you have like 100 to 200 purchases. Doing returns is just not fun. So we'd rather kind of measure twice and cut once and be done with it. So anyway, that was today's tangible tip. Short, sweet episode today with Lee Ford. Enjoy. All right, Lee, what is going on, man? Welcome to the podcast. Glad to finally have you. How are you?
Hey, Jonathan, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on to hopefully bring some value to your audience.
Absolutely, man. Well, based on what you've done, I've no doubt that that'll be the case, especially the deal size you're doing, and you've kind of been doing it in a short period of time. So we'll just jump right in. From a high level, Lee, can you just give us a background on how you got into real estate, and then also from a high level, what you're doing in real estate today?
Absolutely. Started as a property manager in 2012, built a property management company to a couple hundred, single families and condos under management, started investing in 2017, here in my current hometown of St. Louis, Missouri, started with a duplex. And after investing for a little under 4 years, about 3.5 years, my team is now doing full-size syndications, and we're at 125 doors as of today, April of 21.
Okay, that's awesome, man. And just for those that don't know, can you define what real estate syndication is?
A syndication is when a group of investors come together and provide capital passively for an investment. It doesn't have to be real estate. It can be in many different forms and types, but it's a product that's built by a group of attorneys and is generally held under the 506B or 506C clause of the IRS tax code.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. And how did you decide you wanted to do that? I mean, maybe kind of going back a little to the beginning here of how you got into this, and maybe that would be a good segue to it, but how did you get involved with this world to know that this was the route you wanted to go? A lot of people are interested in multifamily or interested in real estate in general, but there's so many paths to take that they're maybe not sure where they should start or where kind of they want to end up. So how did you decide that was your path?
After running the property management group for several years, I actually got inspired by one of my clients who is an investor based out of Kansas City. And, you know, he had built a wonderful business, hugely successful. I was inspired by him. Thank you, Brett, for inspiring me to try and live up to the heights that he was able to reach. And I decided to start investing because I saw what the true returns were. And I did focus some time and energy into what asset class I wanted to focus on. Multifamily makes sense because housing will always be needed regardless of, where we are in the market cycle or where we are as far as trends go. So, you know, office or retail may come and go, storage may be needed or not needed, or mobile or not mobile. Whereas everyone needs a home, and we are becoming a renter nation. And I believe that apartments will serve communities and have demand for, you know, my lifetime, the lifetime of my children and the lifetime of their children.
Mm, Got it. And I guess the one question I always thought about when I was looking at syndicating and apartment building investing was, and I guess a question that a lot of people I think get tripped up on at the beginning is, why wouldn't it be better to just do this myself and I could have bigger profits myself? I don't have to worry about other people's opinions. So why do you feel it makes more sense for you to invest with partners or to not buy these deals yourself?
I don't believe that anyone can really build a hugely sizable business without having partners. Regardless of whether those partners are your actual business partners or investors or subcontractors, everyone is a partner on my team. I just choose to partner with people that offer aspects of themselves that offset or complement myself. So I, like anyone else, have weaknesses. And if I can partner with someone that can, you know, extremely offset my weaknesses with their strengths, then between the group of us, we can accomplish anything and we can buy and go after larger deals, better deals, deals with more profit margin, deals in different locations. So then I'm not just focused on one location or one small type or limited to my own capabilities.
Got it. Okay. So I would love to hear kind of how you actually got into this. Like, I think apartment investors or syndicators can get started in a lot of different ways, but would love to hear, like, what was your first deal, or even before you started doing apartment building investing, like, what was your ramp to do that? And then how did it tactically happen? How did it actually happen step by step?
So my first investment was a duplex that I bought sight unseen through a foreclosure auction. I was out of state. I wasn't nearby. I bought it for cash at the closing, paid $30,000 for it. It was a foreclosure bank owned property. Then I walked in the door in June of 2017, and I decided I was going to start working on the property myself. So I went and bought a bunch of tools, and I started gutting out the property. I remember when the building code enforcement officer walked into my job site and said, "I'm shutting this place down because you don't have any permits. You should probably stop, or I'm going to force you to stop and go get some permits before you keep this job running." So I made a lot of mistakes right when I first started. And then, you know, I learned lessons along the way. I hired the low bid contractor. It took me about a year to get that first duplex from the day I bought it to the day when tenants actually moved into it. I invested all, cash. I didn't use any leverage on it at all, but it did work out. I did buy it right. I did invest. I probably overimproved it, but I did get great quality tenants. Bought it for 30, put 100 into it. It was worth 180 when I was done. So I was able to pull all my original investment back out of that deal. And I still own it to this day. It's a duplex here in St. Louis that I have two great tenants in. They pay me $850 each month. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very good investment for me that has slightly appreciated. And at the end of the day, I make about $300 a month off of it, $300 or $400 when you include, offsets for vacancy and maintenance. But It's not. Once I went through that first one, then I did a four family and some single family houses. And it took me 18 months to get to 9 properties that were really, at the end of the day, only creating for me about $1,500 a month in cash flow. It took me 18 months to get there. Mm-hmm. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, I cannot keep doing this because I eventually want to be a full-time professional investor. And this is not scalable. I'll be 80 before I get to a place where I'm, earning enough to live off of it. Driving around town with in a rusty pickup truck with a weed whacker in the back of my, back of my truck. And so I looked at myself and I joined a group and started participating in a multifamily investing group, the Jake and Gino group. And I decided through my network and the interactions that I had with them that if I just partner with the right people, I can start buying good sized properties and properties that are scalable, properties that I can afford to hire third party management to run the day to day at. So I partnered with an ex-NFL football player, and he and I bought a 38 unit apartment building in October of 2019, full reposition, refi and roll deal that's gone fantastically well. And since then bought, did a syndication. That first one was a joint venture. So then I did a syndication on a 76 unit apartment building that once again, with scale, I can afford to pay for management. I can afford to, you know, focus on the things that are, you know, most important, like how much is the water bill this month, as opposed to whether or not the units get rented. So yeah, scaling up requires larger properties, and to partner with, you know, people, you have to have enough peanut butter spread on the bread, I guess would be a way of putting it. And the only way to achieve that is go after larger properties. So that's what we're doing right now, is we look to purchase joint venture deals on 20 to 50 unit in size properties and 50 to 150 unit size properties for our syndication business.
Can you talk to what that deal has done, I guess, just from like a financial means, like how much money does that deal make you? How much did you make on the front end from fees? How much do you make on monthly cash flow? Just so that people, I think, can conceptualize like what they're getting into, because I think a lot of people do get to a point where they realize the single doors, it's a slow path to get there in a lot of ways, unless you can get very creative with creative financing and acquire deals without a lot of your own money, or get really good at the burn method. So I just like to help people kind of understand what the potential is, or at least like some people, I also think maybe misinterpret what syndication is and what that can mean financially. If they think someone completely owns themselves 500 units, I think they're a billionaire, but you know, like it's a portion of that. So can you just maybe talk to like the finances, the numbers, the cash flow that you take away from that deal every month, just so people can kind of conceptualize it.
So on the syndication group, I have two partners on the general partner side of the deal. You have the general partner side of the deal, or the ownership, and then you have the limited partner side. The limited partner side has 70% equity. The general partner side has 30% equity, and the limited partners receive a preferred return. That preferred return is 10%. So they make 10% on their capital contribution before the general partner team, or before I, for my efforts, earn a single dollar. So before I can earn a single dollar, I have to provide a double digit return to my limited partner investors. I, of course, contribute to every deal over and above the at-risk capital, or the money for like the EMD money and the cost of like lawyers and things like that to get the deal started. I also contribute towards the limited partner side as well. So I have skin on the game, or skin in the game. So I'm also a limited partner on my deals. But long story short, how a syndicator makes their money is after the partners who are passive receive the preferred return, then they receive a portion of the remainder. And we have owned that property since October, and we are now doing our very first distribution after the first quarter, because we do quarterly distributions. And our checks are actually being cut as we speak to our limited partners for the first distribution, which is a sizable one, because they not only received for the first quarter of 21, they also are going to receive from October 27 to the end of the year 2020. So to tell you the truth, as of today, I haven't made a single dollar off that deal. We did do an acquisition fee, but you know, that money, you know, went directly back towards the expenses that we paid or spent in order to get the deal done or deal started. So I haven't earned anything yet, but I'm looking forward to providing my investors with a double digit return on their capital that they contributed. And of course, you know, I wouldn't be an entrepreneur if I weren't intending to earn profit off of my efforts on the general partner side, which I believe will start flowing in very soon.
So I'm glad you just broke it down as clearly as that, because I think a lot of people, they're like, they'll even think, I'm going to quit my job and start doing real estate. And then there's a little bit of, I don't want to say a rude awakening, but a realization that it's not. Syndication, I'd say, is one of the best ways to build like significant wealth, but it's not get rich quick. It's get very wealthy over slow, 5 to 7 years potentially, or 3 to 5 years, depending on business plan. So how, like, I guess for someone who's maybe considering it, and they might have a W-2 job now, what do you think are some ways that people can get started investing or get like started down this path before they lose their one or main stream of income that would be able to support them in the holdover between they start making significant, I guess, either fees or significant cash flow on these deals when they start getting repositioned?
So first off, when I meet an investor who wants to get started in syndications and be a sponsor, be a general partner on a syndication, I ask them, why? Why do you want to move from one industry or one job type to another? Because anyone who thinks investing as a general partner on a syndication is passive is wrong. It is another job. You are buying a job, and now you are an entrepreneur who only earns money when you have provided return to your investors. So you're just trading one job for another. This is not passive income. This is not just an investment. This is both. It's a job and an investment. So you're just building another business. And if you aren't going to be able to be, or you aren't intending to be an entrepreneur, then I suggest staying focused on what you do best and investing as a limited partner on a syndication. That would probably be my first recommendation for any person looking to join either as an active or passive member on a syndication. Is first get started by joining in on somebody else's who's already got the experience. Somebody who's already knows the processes. Somebody already knows how to run a large apartment complex. Learn from them. Learn from what they do and the reports they provide quarterly or monthly or weekly to their, limited partners. Be one of those limited partners first, then look to be active. Then if you decide you want to be like the syndicator that you've chosen to invest passively with, then in that case, then look to be a general partner, because it's a job, it's work. You're jumping in, you're getting a second job. If you decide you're going to do that. And some people don't have the bandwidth to be able to continue to focus the energy that's required to provide an income to their families or for themselves while simultaneously, working a second job. So invest passively first, if possible.
That's good advice.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.